to all the ships at sea.
Hey, good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. It is just a minute before 10 o'clock. Coming up in 15 minutes, it'll be Flashpoints. Today, a mini documentary on the Caravan for Justice, remembering the dead and missing students who were captured and slaughtered in Mexico last fall. Also join us for part 4 in the Flashpoint special series, The Battle for Public Education in the 21st Century, with a look at major funders of corporatized education and how they profit. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Sarika Mehta speaks with Cece Bell about El Defo, her memoir graphic novel about her loss of hearing at a young age. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, Sam Marks previews Portland's newly expanded Linework Northwest Comics and Illustration Festival. Then DIY magic author Anthony Alvarado has practical advice for listeners who want to unlock the powers of their imagination. But first, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. That's your host for the show, and that's next on KBOO.
KBOO and the Quinta Street Theater are proud to present a music documentary that raises the bar for the genre. Arrows into Infinity, the new documentary about the life of jazz musician Charles Lloyd. Thursday, April 9 at the Clinton Street Theater. Arrows into Infinity takes us on Lloyd's journey from the heights of jazz rock royalty to his life in seclusion and back again. Arrows into Infinity, the Portland premiere, Thursday, April 9, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. 2522 Southeast Clinton, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, April 9th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have two guests today. Julia Olson with Our Children's Future is joining us. Our Children's Trust. Listeners may recall that on Tuesday, in front of a packed courtroom and national news media, Judge Carsten Rasmussen heard oral arguments in a precedent-setting climate change case, Chernock v. Brown, brought by two young women from Eugene. More than 400 students and individuals from across the state flooded the courtroom, and Julia is going to join us today to talk about that case and why we, all of us, are charged with the responsibility of caring for the environment, the habitat that we hand on to future generations. We will also have Ed Cheney will be back with the Northwest Resource Information Center to introduce our listeners to the blog that they put out. It's extraordinarily important. We are very, very close to the Bonneville Dam, the Bonneville Power Authority, and we live in pretty much blissful unawareness of how deeply the corruption runs. The main players are people whose names appear in the news all the time. We don't think about it. We don't hold them responsible. These are the people who are the stewards, custodians of children's futures. Our Children's Trust is all about reining in the Bonneville Power Authority's utter and complete disregard for public trust. That said, we have Julia on the line. We'll be speaking to Ed in a few minutes as well. And Julia, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it very much. We're glad to hear from you.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
This was an unusual case, and of course, it drew the attention of the national media, as well as local. Can you tell listeners, if they are not already familiar, there have been little sort of news blurbs about this, but how did these two young women get this started? What gave rise to the precedent-setting case that was heard on Tuesday?
Sure. Well, I run an organization called Our Children's Trust, and back in 2011, we worked with young people across the country and even internationally to file legal actions against their governments for failing to protect the atmosphere and our climate system for themselves and for future generations. And so Kelsey and Olivia were two youth who were interested in participating in this effort, this global effort.
How old were they at the time?
Kelsey was, I believe, 15 when the case was filed, and I think Olivia was 10 or 11. And that was back in 2011. And since then, for the last 4 years, their attorneys and the girls have been working to get this case heard. And so it was very exciting on Tuesday to finally be in court back on the merits of their case to address the question of whether the state of Oregon and the governor have an obligation as public trustees to protect our vital natural resources in Oregon, including the atmosphere on which we all depend. And this case is really about the girls' fundamental constitutional rights to have those healthy resources intact and available for them and for their children.
So throughout the case and during oral argument, the plaintiffs asked the court for a declaration of the law. So how would it be interpreted? What actions would legislators be obliged to take in order to adequately address the issues that they brought that were brought forward in the case?
Right. Well, maybe I could just explain how this would work. So the first step that's really important is having the law declared, and that's what's before the court right now. The plaintiffs are asking the court to declare that the atmosphere is a public trust resource and that these other essential resources in Oregon, like our waters and our wildlife, our salmon, are also public trust resources, and that the state has a duty, an affirmative duty, to protect them from the harm that's being caused by our carbon dioxide pollution, which is leading to climate disruption and is causing ocean acidification. And then the plaintiffs are also asking the court to declare that the state has breached its duty, that it's violated its public trust obligation to the people of Oregon. And once the court does that, then there would be a phase two of the case. And phase two would allow the plaintiffs to then seek any kind of further relief that would be appropriate. But as Chris Winter of the Cragg Law Center said during the oral argument on behalf of the youth, if the court issues the declaratory order that the state has a legal duty and that it has violated that legal duty, the plaintiffs would expect our government leaders to comply with that order and take urgent action to start reducing our carbon dioxide emissions at levels that are necessary to protect our natural systems. So we would hope that the state would sit down and really get to work with that legal order behind them and prepare a plan for the emission reductions that are needed in Oregon.
So I recently attended a rather extraordinary event that regarding the fate of our river systems. It was, of course, the Pembina propane proposed terminal. Enormous number of people were there, and the outcome astonished. It was staggering after all of the testimony presented that the final vote had very little regard for anything that was heard that day, and very, very little to do with the actual reality of the situation. The Pembina people couldn't answer any questions, and there were very few questions, and the answers that they were able to provide were incredibly inadequate. Let's take that as an example. We do, by the way, listeners, have Ed Cheney waiting. He'll be on in just a few moments, as well as a perfect corollary to the conversation we're having right now. So let's take Pembina as an example. Should laws be passed, a law, sort of an umbrella law governing many of these proposed terminals, oil, gas, propane, coal, whatever, would this have an effect, for example, on Pembina? Would we have been at that hearing in the first place, or would it be a moot point?
That's a great question. So if the law is declared that the state has an obligation to protect our public trust resources and to reduce our carbon dioxide emissions at levels that will lead us back on a path towards a 350 parts per million level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, then the state would have an obligation to look at these projects like Pembina, like the Jordan Cove proposal for the LNG facility, like the coal trains and the oil trains and everything that's coming through our state. They would have an obligation to look at those projects through that lens of, can we reduce our emissions at adequate levels and still authorize these kinds of projects?
So would be some weight to it. Before we go to Ed patiently waiting there in a remote part of Idaho, I want to ask you quickly, this is one of several cases around the country that have been brought by youth and coordinated by our Children's Trust. Do you want to just mention a couple of those and then give people a website or resource that they can go to find out more?
Yeah, sure. So just last month, the Court of Appeals of New Mexico declared for the first time that the atmosphere is a public trust resource in New Mexico, and that the people of New Mexico have a constitutional right to have it protected. So that was a really important decision out of that court. We have a case moving forward in Colorado that is centered around fracking, and briefing was just filed in that case. So there's a lot of movement, and you can look for new cases to be filed on behalf of youth this spring and early summer in different places, including a new case against the federal government.
Yes, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, and people can learn more about our work at www.ourchildrenstrust.org. And please join the pledge to support the youth in defending their constitutional rights to have a healthy atmosphere and a stable climate system.
Julia, I want to thank you very much for being with us. On the note that you mentioned, national and local conservation groups, actually, this is just right now, called on the U.S. Forest Service to rescind a genuinely brazen move to revive a gaping loophole in the Colorado roadless rule. The loophole paves the way, no pun intended, of course, for Arch Coal, the nation's second largest coal company, to build roads and to scrape well pads over thousands of acres of otherwise protected, publicly owned national forest and, goes without saying, of course, crucial wildlife habitat. That said, thank you many, many times over. Julia Olson of our Children's Trust will put links to all of that on the KBOO website. Now we want to speak again today. Ed Cheney is back with the Northwest Resource Information Center. There's a terrific blog that is up there. You can go take a look at it and find out a lot more, because Bonneville Power Authority is the absolute key, that's ground zero of the future of our environment here in Cascadia. Ed, can you talk a little bit about the blog and some of the work that you're doing, and so what's the corruption that you are charged with revealing and bringing to light?
Thanks, Chris. Anybody who is interested in what's going on with Snake River salmon and steelhead and how it impacts the environment from 700 miles inland and several thousand miles along the Pacific coast can go to NRIC website, which is just NRIC, NWRIC.org. And I appreciate that you aired this issue on your show there. As I said yesterday, that the people who listen to your program have got a front row seat to what has, it's a really an ecological crime against humanity that's being perpetrated by, unfortunately, our employees, our public agencies at an art, really corrupt political hacks at Bonneville Power Administration, NOAA Fisheries, and Northwest Power Planning Council. And they're getting away with this in plain sight. Now, the reason they're getting away with it is because Oregon Senators Wyden and Merkley and Washington Senators Murray and Cantwell are providing political cover for the Snake River salmon killers. And unfortunately, nothing's going to change until these four senators feel the wrath of their constituents, or, alternatively, until the federal courts put the heel of justice on the throats of those federal agencies and the Northwest Power Planning Council and force them to stop betraying the public trust.
Ed, thank you so much. We want to have you back very soon and keep talking about this. Everything that you're saying needs to be said, and very much more. I really do want to commend a listener's attention to the NRIC's initiatives, the five main categories. We are totally out of time right now, but we will post links to all of this on the KBOO website. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, April 9th, 2015. Rook Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Rook. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, a mini documentary on the Caravan for Justice for the Dead and Missing Students captured and slaughtered in Guerrero, Mexico last fall. Also, part four in our Flashpoint special series, The Battle for Public Education in the 21st Century, looks at the major funders and promoters of corporatized education and how they are profiting.